B-Pod Studios.
Five o'clock, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for the Mike Missanelli Show on this Memorial Day Monday. They will be back tomorrow. It's Mikey Miss, Tyrone Johnson, Natalie Eganoff. But today you have Andrew Salchunas, Tyler Zuli behind the glass. 5 o'clock hour is brought to you by, had it here a second ago, got a window, door and window. Buy any window or door and get the second at 50% off plus interest-free financing. For up to 18 months, call Guida Door and Window today at 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. So now I'm looking at the power rankings of receivers all time. Tyler, this is from
Bleacher. You enjoy torturing yourself like this?
Yeah, no, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. Oh, I tried doing a show of positivity, and for the most part, everyone's positive. Everyone's feeling good. You said you're 75% positive. You know, three of the four teams, and the Eagles, you're teetering. You're more down, but you're...
Yeah, so all right, so I'm 50% positive, 25% neutral, 25% down. But still pretty good.
Neutral's the Phillies, right?
Neutral is the Phillies, correct.
Okay, and you have arrow up, straight up Flyers.
Straight up Flyers.
The angle up for the
correct.
Sixers.
And then slightly down for the Eagles.
Yeah. If you've ever played MLB 2K or the show, they have the potential... They have the potential arrow. And you got it sky high for the Flyers. And I think everyone does. Sixers, I still have, you know, it's not sky high, but it's still pointing up. I go, all right, they still have the talent. The blow up the team crowd is just wrong. It's find a new coach, find a new direction, find a new voice, and get a bench because they didn't have that this year. The bench was just awful this year. Except for Matisse Thybulle, who hit a rookie wall. And except for whenever he didn't start and he would come off the bench and hit some threes for you, Furkan Korkmaz. Other than that, the bench was pretty bad. I mean, Shake Milton gave you some run late. Took a while to get him into action. Mike Scott had an awful year. James Ennis you traded or moved on from. So James Ennis wasn't even a part of it. I mean, the bench was just bad. So... I don't know. I'm feeling good. Sixers slightly up. Flyers sky high. Phillies neutral. Eagles I still have. Eagles I have status quo from last year. And that means playoffs. So I'm okay. Even though I don't think they got tremendously better. I don't think they got worse. I think they got slightly better. They're better at the cornerback position. They, on paper, are better at receiver. On paper. That's a big, big if. You lose Jason Peters, but I think Andre Diller's going to be good. I could be wrong. You hear all these reports about how Dillard might not be it. But I liked what I saw when he was out there last year. So I think the offensive line is good. I think the running backs are good. I think Carson Wentz is great. I think the receivers are a question mark, but they could be good. I think the tight ends are obviously great. Defensive front four, I think, are very good. I would say great. You know, Derek Barnett is what kind of keeps me away from saying elite. Because I don't know what Derek Barnett's going to bring you. But, you know, I don't think Brandon Graham has 10 sacks again this season. But if he takes a slight step back and only gives you 7, it's still pretty good. And I think Cox and Jackson and Hargrave all make you better. And then you have Darius Slay. Losing Malcolm Jenkins to me still is a huge loss. Because you used him all over the field. And you can't do that anymore. And Jalen Mills, even though I love Jalen Mills, you guys know that. I don't think Jalen Mills can play the role that Malcolm Jenkins played. I don't know if Jalen Mills ends up playing safety. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. You bring in Will Parks on a one-year deal, who actually did play every single game in 4 years for the Broncos and play that safety spot. And he wants to start. They said they signed Mills. Remember, when they put out the release, they said they signed him to a one-year deal as a safety. And then Howie Roseman has the press conference, and he says he's positionless. So was that sort of him giving the idea that, yes, he can play safety and up in the box? Or was that also his way of saying, yeah, I know we said safety, but maybe we move him to corner now that we have Will Parks, now that we drafted Kayvon Wallace? Not that Kayvon Wallace is going to start. You know, he's a project. But it'll be interesting to see. I mean, there's a lot of question marks with the Eagles. Question marks with the Phillies. Question marks with the Sixers. Flyers, great year. I think overall, the arrow is still pointing up for all four teams. The Phillies are, they're not, the arrow's not up yet, but they're on pace. Because they do have a core. They do have two good starting pitchers. They just need a bullpen. 610-632-0975. But as I was saying, because yes, I am torturing myself, Tyler. Bleacher Report, let's see when they put this out. So this was back in 2011. So this could have changed. But it's kind of what I was looking for. They did the power rankings, but of each team's best wide receiver. So each team has one wide receiver, and they did the power rankings. So at 32 was Tampa Bay and Keenan McCardell. But when I go through the overall yards, Keenan McCardell has more than Harold Carmichael. At number 31, Mushin Muhammad for the Bears.
Wow.
Yeah, you want to
talk... Okay, that's a bad franchise right there.
You want to talk about bad receivers.
Receiving-wise.
Because Alshon, he's gone.
Brandon Marshall.
Like, those, they had good careers. But to say Mushin Muhammad is your best. And I think Mushin Muhammad more of Carolina Panthers. Right?
I do, too. It may be just our generation thing. Could be an era thing.
Because I go Muhammad and Steve Smith.
Steve Smith.
And that's... And, you know, you have Jake Delhomme. The big running back. What was his name? The hell was the big running back's name when they went to the
Davis.
Yes. Not Thomas Davis.
Stephen Davis.
Thank you.
And Deshaun Foster.
But they have Muhammad for just 4 years. 05 through 08. But Mushin Muhammad, Tyler, you can guess correctly, has more wide receivers and more receiving yards in his career than Harold Carmichael. And again, I'm not taking anything away from the career of Harold Carmichael. What I'm doing is I'm trying to paint the picture of, wow, Harold Carmichael is still number one on your list. Harold Carmichael still has the most receiving yards in Eagles franchise history, and he doesn't even have 9,000. He's 8,985. DeSean Jackson has over 10,000, but he played with more than just the Eagles. He's played for three teams. So at number 30, the Jaguars, Jimmy Smith. Well, I don't even remember, to be honest.
Jimmy Smith could have had an even bigger career. I believe Jimmy Smith got in some legal trouble.
That would do it. Legal trouble. 29 is the Giants and Amani Toomer, who, yes, more receiving yards than Harold Carmichael. Now, this is a 2011 story, so I would go Odell Beckham Jr. over Amani Toomer at this point, right? But again, it was just their career. Seahawks went Steve Largent, more receiving yards than Harold Carmichael. Atlanta Falcons, this is too outdated, Terrence Mathis. But Julio Jones is the better. I mean, Mathis had a good year. Detroit Lions, yeah, this is too old. I got a guy.
That'll be Calvin Johnson.
No, they didn't have Calvin Johnson. They had Herman Moore.
Herman Moore had a nice career, but Calvin Johnson is the best receiver.
Yeah, we need an updated list here. Saints, New Orleans Saints is Joe Horn. Which, at the time...
I think right now it still is Joe Horn.
Really?
It will be Michael Thomas.
Yeah, I like to do projections a lot when I do these things. So they have Harold Carmichael at 22nd. So the number one receiver for each team, and then their power rankings. They have Carmichael at 22.
So that means Carmichael's got to slide down at least two spots on that list, right? Because Calvin Johnson, probably better.
Michael Thomas will surpass him.
And Julio better, so probably three spots. So now he's down to like 25.
Yeah.
And again, we do this all subjectively with the knowledge that there wasn't nearly as much pass-happy offenses.
Right.
Because the last thing we need is somebody, well, you guys weren't even alive in 1979 and 1980 when Harold was great. Yeah, right. We know that. Right. Harold was great.
But I'm also trying to paint the picture that, look, Harold Carmichael had as many yards as he did in a non- receiving era. This is now a receiving heavy era, and there's nobody close. There's DeSean Jackson, who has more, but it wasn't just all with the Eagles. I'm trying to see who's next that played for the Eagles. You have Tommy McDonald at 8,410 at 85th. He played with multiple teams. Just trying to scroll through this real fast. I got to see if I can catch a name because it doesn't just say Philadelphia. It says three teams or four teams.
So I think for Eagles' sake, number two is Pete Retzlaff with 7,400.
Okay. That is bad. I mean,
a couple of tight ends in the top 10. I mean, that's...
Yeah, that's bad to have that many... God. Why am I doing this to myself, Tyler? I don't know why I'm doing this to myself. Now, Alshon is in... He's in the top 200. But for the most part, it's with Chicago. You got Mike Quick in the top 200. Zach Ertz is 216. He'll get inside the top 200. He is at 5,743. Lewis Lips is at 6,019 at 200.
So he'll break the top 200 this season.
This season, if they play. But still, it's like, my God, it's really that bad. And don't give me, oh, well, they've had like three good receivers at the same time, so they were able to put the ball all over the place. No, the Eagles receivers have always sucked. They've always been bad, except for a year and a half of Terrell Owens. And the 70s and early 80s of Harold Carmichael. And DeSean Jackson until Chip Kelly and some nitwit reported that there was gang stuff. And then that ruined things. Thanks a lot, dude. This is just terrible. It's really bad. But hey, on the other main thing that I've been talking about, I'm positive. I'm thinking positively moving forward. For this team, I think highly for this team. This city, not just this team, not just the Eagles, sorry. Eagles, Phillies, Flyers, and Sixers. There is more of a positive outlook for me with the four teams than a negative. I go, potential arrow is up, not down. I think the Sixers can get to a championship soon and win. I think the Flyers can do that. I think the Eagles are like 2 or 3 years away from being legit Super Bowl contenders. Like, they can get in. I think the Eagles, I've pinned them as the 2007 Phillies. So that would mean that next year they're a Super Bowl contender. Maybe it's a year, maybe it's two. We have Carson. That's the biggest part. And the Phillies, probably 2-3 years away. Now, I mentioned the awful feeling that I have about Aaron Nola possibly being in the top 10 of wins in like 2 or 3 years. That came up over the weekend because of a man named Tasty Cake Dom, who said that Aaron Nola in a couple of years or when it's all said and done will be a top five pitcher in Phillies franchise history. I said, oh, really? Really? And then I looked it up. I was like, yep, nope, you're right. That's kind of crazy that we're almost there already. Let's go to the man, Tasty Cake Dom. What's up, Dom?
Hey, Andrew. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you? I'm kind of depressed.
Tyler, doing a great job.
Thank you. I'm depressed, though.
You know, I worked Memorial Day, but you guys were with me. It was great.
Oh, I'm glad I could be there for the ride, man.
You guys are talking about this and talent. We're talking about talent, right, Andrew? And I'm thinking it in my head. Now, I'm going back to what you guys, Tyler just mentioned 1979. So there's a six, seven-year period in Philadelphia where you have four different guys in a seven-year period win MVP awards. Moses Malone,
yep.
Doc,
mm-hmm.
Schmidt, and Bobby Clark.
Yeah.
All win MVP awards in that time. And then you had two guys, Carlton. And did you ever hear of a guy named John Denny?
Yes.
He won a Cy Young Award.
Yes, he did.
So the talent during that time period, and Anthony had said, all the teams were contending for the world championship every year.
Yeah.
So that's what I was used to growing up. And now I'm looking and you say like, 6 years ago, is there anybody in Philadelphia that has the ability to win an MVP award?
Six years ago.
I would say no.
And 14, the Phillies were just terrible. They're still hanging on to some of those guys.
But, Andrew, Ben Simmons can win an MVP award. I believe that with all my heart.
He could. If he can get the scoring numbers up a little bit, he could, yeah.
Joel Embiid can win an MVP award immediately.
He won't, and I only say that because, well, it depends. It depends on how they look at load management when it comes to voting, right? Like Giannis Antetokounmpo is a guy that's going to play 82 games for you and put up great numbers for 82 games. Joel Embiid may be able to match those numbers as Giannis does, but if he only plays 60 because of load management, which is the right thing to do now, I'm not saying it's not the right thing to do. I wonder if the voters go, oh, well, Giannis did it over 82 games, whereas Embiid only did it for 60.
Bryce already won an MVP. He has the ability to win an MVP award.
Yes, he does.
Carson Wentz has the ability to win an MVP award.
I think he does. He would have won it in 2017 had he not gotten hurt.
So I'm looking at this talent pool, and I'm feeling your show made me feel pretty happy.
Yeah, good.
We are loaded.
I think so. There are guys that are playing in this city right now, Dom, that could be, in 10 years from now, considered the best at their position in one of these franchises' histories. Bryce Harper, 10 years from now, could, again, this is we're looking into the future, but Bryce Harper, 10 years from now, could be considered the best outfielder in Philly's franchise history. Carson Wentz could be considered the best quarterback in Eagles franchise history. Ben Simmons could be considered the best guard if you want to move AI to a two guard, if you want to have that conversation. Ben Simmons could be considered the best point guard in Eagles and Sixers franchise history over Maurice Cheeks. It's possible. And you have that right now in this city.
And when you have your show, when you and Tyler have your guys' own show, I want you to remember me telling you this, because I'm going to call you both. In 2024, Andrew, from now till then, Aaron Nola is going to win 65 games.
Wow. I don't think you're wrong. I mean, I don't think it's crazy to think that. He needs some help from
Gabe
the offense.
Gabe did nothing but. You got Girardi that knows how to use guys. 65 games in the next 4 years.
Yeah, and if he wins 65 games in the next 4 years, he's, let's see, he's got 53 now. So 65 would put him at 118. That would put him fifth all time in wins for a
right. I want him to pay. I want him by 2024. I want him to pass Hamels.
Wow. If he gets some help with the offense, which he should, I think the offense had like a fluky bad year, especially after McCutcheon goes down. I think it's possible. I don't think you're crazy to think that. Aaron Nola's got good stuff.
I think in the last 3 years, Gabe, and you know, they say manager does it. I think Gabe cost Aaron Nola 6 games in the last 2 years. It was agonizing watching those late innings. It was agonizing.
I hate Gabe Kapler.
And he pulled them at least three times. He pulled them too soon. Let him pitch.
He's your ace.
You got to let your ace pitch out of some jams.
Yes, you do. Gabe Kapler overmanaged too many times.
And if Nola gets hit in those situations, well, then we know he's a two. But I want him to be put in a position with a guy in second and third, one out, with a one-run lead. I want him pitching out of that.
Yep, and maybe we'll get that chance this year, hopefully. Don, appreciate the call, man. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. Tyler, what do you think about Nola?
Man, that'd be 16 wins a year for the next 4 years.
Yeah.
I think Nola, all right, so I have a different look on starting pitching than some do. I think that there is a distinct difference between being a number one pitcher and being an ace.
Yes.
And an ace, ace is like the elite group, right? Ace is like 3, 4, 5 guys in the league. Aaron Nola is probably a number one. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But I think in order to win with a number one, Cole Hamels was a number one too. Mm-hmm. In order to win with a number one, you either have to have a really good offense or a good 2, 3, 4. The 08 team did it with a really good offense.
Yes.
Is this team going to be good enough to help him get to those 16 wins a year for the next four seasons?
I think the offense should. I think last year was just crazy. The poor offensive numbers that they put up last year, I think, was more of an anomaly. I don't know. It was year one for Bryce in Philly. You know, McCutcheon goes down, he gets hurt. Last year was weird. There was too much platooning. There was too much moving around. And I go back to the manager for that. Guys were hitting all over the place in the lineup. There was too much change constantly. And it came back to Gabe. I don't think he didn't allow guys to get comfortable in a spot. I mean, when do you remember a stretch of games where guys hit in the same spot of the order night in, night out? I don't remember. Like that didn't happen. It happened early in the year. And then he just started tinkering nonstop, and it drove me freaking insane. So I do think the offense can put up not numbers like 2011 where they're scoring 8, 9 runs a game, but there was a wild stat last year around like the 100 game mark. And forgive me, I don't remember it exactly, but I remember talking about it on the baseball show that if the Phillies scored at least three runs, they had like a Sixers home court record where they barely lost. And that was only three runs. But the problem was, there were way too many games where they didn't score at least three runs. There were way too many games where they got shut out or only scored one or only scored two. It might have been four runs because three's still a little bit low. But, I mean, it was just like, man, if you score at least four runs, you're winning games. And with the way baseball's played now with home runs, there are some big crooked number teams that they put up some big numbers. And the Phillies were just awful offensively last year. So I think that can change. I agree with you about the ace versus the number one. I've always said that Aaron Nola is a good number one on the staff.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Above average number two, if they ever bring in a star. Is Zach Wheeler turn into an ace? We'll see. He's got that stuff, right? He's like Pivetta, but better. He's better than Pivetta. But he's got like the high, you know, the high velocity fastball, can strike guys out. But he's more of an accomplished pitcher than Pivetta. That's why he's a one or a two in the rotation. But does he take that next leap forward? The question is, does he stay healthy? If he doesn't stay healthy, he's not taking any leaps forward. So you have Wheeler, you have Nola. Does Spencer Howard become an ace? We'll see. I don't know. It's not like the past history of Philly's starting pitchers is making me feel any better. I think he's got good stuff, but we'll see. See how it translates. Let's go to Ian in Newark. Ian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's up, Andrew? Yeah, not to crap on your parade, but it's tough being positive about the Sixers, though, because for me, it's the contracts I just can't get over. I mean, I know they had to sign Harris, and then Simmons not shooting the ball, the Horford contract, so I still haven't gotten over that.
The Horford contract's bad, right? But
the Harris is the worst, though. I mean, I'd rather have Redick and another player than just Harris because...
Yeah, I never liked it. I never liked that they did that. I was a keep Jimmy Butler guy, try to work through all the issues that they had. I didn't want to give Tobias Harris the max contract, but he was going to get it somewhere, right?
Yeah, exactly. But Andrew, granted that they had to sign Harris, they could have waited a little bit because it really came down to Simmons becoming a superstar. I mean, Simmons is what it's supposed to be, like score 20, 25 a game, then they wouldn't have to worry about Harris. But Simmons is just a regular. Well, he's not. He plays great against regular.
He's gonna.
Yeah, but he plays against. All right, how about this? He plays great against the 25 teams, but when it comes to the playoffs, he is easier to deal with because the good teams have the defenders to defend him. And he won't shoot the ball, so that's what has to change. I'll give him two more years, but if he doesn't shoot the ball, Sixers are going to be still, because it really comes down to Simmons and Embiid. Because Harris, but the Harris contract, I couldn't give it. I don't care about the Horford because he's got 4 years. Yeah. Harris is 6 years to score 19 a game. Now, with the Phillies, with Harper, after he sounds like Wheeler has the stuff, but Wheeler is not there mentally, though. Look, the last 4 or 5 years, Wheeler has great stuff, but why is he never taking it to another level? Because he's not there mentally. And then,
well, I mean, he's also behind DeGrom and Syndergaard in the Mets rotation, right? Like, you're right. He had games where he'd get blown up.
They got the same stuff, though. He throws at 98 miles an hour.
Yeah, but I don't know. DeGrom's like one of the best pitchers of this past decade.
If you look at Wheeler's stuff, though, Wheeler, he's just not there all mental, but. Earlier, you were talking about the golf thing. I want to see Jordan and Daly together playing whoever.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, and another thing about when you talk about – see, when Kapler was signed at first, I did not like Kapler. But I think when he coached, don't you think he was trying to win, though? He wants to win.
I think of course he wants to win. He wants to keep his job. He wants to get paid.
Yeah, but
he overmanaged, in my opinion.
You think so? But well, Kapler, with more experience, he would have got better. I think he could – people shortchange him because of what he says. I get it, but he was out there trying to win. He wasn't trying to lose. I mean,
well, no, of course he wasn't trying to lose. My biggest thing is like they were still technically in the playoff hunt. And you know what? The part of it, I don't give 100% blame to Gabe Kapler. I give a lot of blame to Matt Klentak and Andy McPhail and the unfortunate injury to Andrew McCutchen. But remember, this part of this goes blame to Matt Klentak. They were still in a playoff race last year, and he had Brad Miller batting fourth. And I go, yeah, all right, listen, like, I get roster construction, but you can't be putting that man batting fourth. I'm sorry.
But that overthinking, I think he would have drifted away from that, because Kapler is one of those guys that does change, though. But he was inexperienced, though. So, again, I like Kapler. He just needed more, you know, season and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. He never managed before he came to Philly, and I thought that was a mistake when they hired him, because I was like, wait, you just hired a guy who had no managerial experience?
Right, that's all contact. You know, I agree with that. Now, with Harper, have you heard what Harper says? That doesn't get you at all. It just seems like he's all about money, though. And I mean, karma, though.
Ian, I side with the players. So I agree with them, but they should not have I don't know. I don't need them speaking out.
Well, you know it's about money, though, right? Because he went from 82 games, so he wants to play 135 games. I get it, but I just can't get over that, though. And I'm the biggest 4-for-4. I think the only team that really is upwards is the Flyers, because they're goalie. Now, Eagles are upwards in 2 or 3 years, because they drafted for the next 3 years, don't you think? They didn't get anybody in the draft.
No, they're not winning this year. They're not.
Oh, so you think that, too, huh? I think the same thing, but you look at all right, Andrew, before you let me go, look at that schedule. Doesn't that Eagles schedule is favorable, though?
Yeah, I have them. I have them 10-6. If I were to lean one way, are they 11-5 or 9-7? I'd lean 9-7, but I could still see them 10-6.
Favorable, man.
Yeah, no, it really is, Ian. Man,
I wish they had drafted better.
Oh yeah, I mean, you can't. You go Jalen Hurts. You just basically gave up a pick.
Right.
Ian, I appreciate the call, man. Enjoy the rest of your money. You basically just gave up a pick with Jalen Hurts. I will never say it was the right pick. I'll never say that. By the way, Tyler put up an incredible stat from the Phillies last year. The Phillies scored 2 or less runs 46 times last year. 46 times. That's a fourth of the season. And in those games, they went 4-42. Now you go, oh, well, of course they're not going to win that many games when they only score 2 runs. Well, problem A is that they only scored 2 or less runs 46 times. That's a fourth of the season. Problem B is they didn't have the ace that could still win you the game, or a bullpen that could keep the game tied or down up one, or you name it. Couple segments left. I'm Andrew Salchunas, 610-632-0975, filling in for the Mike Missanelli Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. .5 The Fanatic. Nobody knows this song except probably me at the station. You know it? All right, good. When the sun goes down. All right. This is what I'm thinking of, right?
Yeah, you were right.
It's a Chesney.
Yep, Kenny Chesney and Uncle Cracker. Yep.
Yeah, not many country fans. Yeah, you know. Connor Thomas walks in. He's a big country guy. Connor Thomas will be producing for Devon Gibbons, who's coming your way next. He'll be on from 6 until 10. You know, I was thinking, Tyler, during the break, normally at this point of the day, on Memorial Day, we'd probably have a full board, because people are driving home and they're stuck in traffic. It sucks. Like, I was so depressed Saturday morning doing the show, because that would be that I would finish the show and boom, I'd go down the shore and I'd come back here for this shift. And I'd have the rest of the day Saturday and all day Sunday. I wasn't going to do that. People that still went to the shore, I don't really understand.
Well, and here's the thing, too, is what are you going to do?
Exactly.
You know, you're going to, even if you do adhere to guidelines, what are you going to do?
Yeah, like, I don't know. Is it like a I just want to be there kind of thing?
I think it has to be. I think it has to be at this point where it's like a, you know, smell the salt air and be in the sun. And,
yeah.
But the weather wasn't even all that good on Friday. Saturday was a little nicer.
Like, yesterday, I was legitimately bored out of my mind. Like, I'm working on a little side project, as you know, and I hit a wall. And that wall, like, it was too early to hit the wall. It was like 12:30 in the afternoon. And my wife was working yesterday. She's not getting home till 8 o'clock. And I'm like, what the hell do I do? To the point where I started texting people like, hey, can I like drive to your house? But like, I'll stand in your driveway.
We talk about whatever you want. I don't care.
People were down the shore. You know, other people were visiting family that, you know, they're driving to their families elsewhere. And I'm just like, I don't know. is it? I think it's just getting to the point where people are going to start doing things. And I want to say, I want to be all high and mighty and say, come on, keep fighting hard, you know, social distance. But at the same time, it's like, I get it. We're like, I was losing my mind yesterday. I almost like went to a golf course by myself, but the weather was crappy yesterday. That's the thing. Like the people that went to the beach yesterday, like one of my buddies posted on Snapchat, like, oh, I'm down the shore. And he had you could hear how loud the wind was and they're all bundled up. I was like, why are you even there? It's 40 degrees outside. The wind chill is bringing it down to 40. Why did you go to the shore? But I guess maybe it's a tradition thing. Like, I don't know. I've done Memorial Day weekend down the shore for, I'm 26, probably 26 years.
I don't know. My whole thought on this thing is if we can let ourselves be patient for a little bit longer, you will get an unobstructed Labor Day. I truly believe that.
That's what I'm trying to
truly believe that.
Right.
So if you can do this for just a little bit longer and hold out and just do what you're being asked to do, I know it stinks, but you will get an unobstructed Labor Day.
I'm going to start texting you when I have the itch to go somewhere and you can...
We'll just meet... you and I don't live close, but we'll just meet halfway and chat baseball or something.
So
talk about why the Eagles receiving corps has been historically awful.
Like yesterday, I have buddies from my high school that actually live up the street. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to... They have a backyard, but they also have... Like, there's an alleyway. It's like, you know, it's a Philly alleyway where you can get to many backyards, Manionk alleyway. And I'm like, all right, I'll stay in their alleyway and they stay in their backyard and we'll just talk over the fence. No, they were gone, of course. They did things. You know, they had fun. And I was like, God, I'm kind of jealous. I'm getting the itch.
Yeah, we got to get you on a golf course or something.
Yeah, I was supposed to go Saturday at a tee time book, but it poured. Because there's some golf courses in Jersey where you're only allowed to go out as a twosome, but they're giving you individual carts. Like, they're trying to make it as safe as possible. And we had to plan, me and my buddy, like, hey, we won't even touch the flagpole. You know, I have one of those ball retrievers. We'll just get the ball out that way. But no, it rained. Rain on my parade there, Tyler. I don't know. Everything's raining on my parade today. The Eagles receivers suck all time. Philly starting pitchers suck. Aaron Nola's going to be a top five pitcher in 3 years, which is just sad. But that's where we're at. But at least in the future, it's going to be good. And that's why I'm trying to do this positive outlook show. Oh, but I just realized it's 5:37, so we got to get the final Twitter poll numbers. No trumpets. Final poll numbers brought to you by Paul.
Snuck up on both of us.
Paul B. Moyer & Sons. You need a new mower, zero turn, or other outdoor power equipment. Paul B. Moyer & Sons has it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or by phone with safe, contactless pickup in Doylestown. Tyler, what are the final Twitter poll numbers for today?
Oh, we've got the trumpets. We've got the trumpets. Don't you worry.
Wow.
Question was, take a step back and take a look at the four teams, the Phillies, Flyers, Sixers, and Eagles. And when you do so, are you thinking mostly positive or thinking negatively? Didn't move a whole lot after this. Just under 700 votes. Andrew, you've got 82% positive, 18% negative.
Well, that's good. I'm glad people were with me. I've since been brought down as the show started. And it has nothing to do with the current state of sports. It has nothing to do with the bright future. It's just all because of just how ridiculous. That's why, like, I'm like, all right, I'm excited for this Eagles offense. I think Rager's going to be good. And then I remember just how bad the Eagles receivers have been in the history of that franchise. And I go, oh, God, is Rager going to, is he going to catch the bug? The Eagles bad receiver bug?
Sure hope not.
I really hope not. Because if he provides a deep threat, which Carson Wentz has not had one, he has never had a deep threat. He had DeSean Jackson for a half, and he threw two touchdown passes to him, or a game, but the second half was where they really connected. And Torrey Smith was a deep threat. Torrey Smith had a case of the drops early in that season. You know, Torrey Smith also wasn't the same Torrey Smith as he was in Baltimore with the same speed. But look at what he did with Torrey Smith. And it's not that he was throwing it to Torrey Smith, it's just that Torrey Smith caused a distraction on the field. And then Carson Wentz puts up those 30-plus touchdowns with Alshon Jeffrey, Zach Ertz.
Well, why do you think they brought Mike Wallace in the next year? Same thing.
And he played one game, got hurt, never came back. And then, again, they never found a guy that could replace that injury. Same with last year. DeSean Jackson goes down. And that was a bad decision by the Eagles organization. I was all for with bringing in DeSean Jackson. I was excited for bringing in DeSean Jackson. But I remember leading up to the draft saying I need a receiver that has some speed because I can't trust DeSean Jackson to play 16 games. I had the hot take last year of I guarantee you Nelson Agholor has the most touchdown receptions of an Eagles wide receiver, not counting tight end. He tied with Alshon Jeffrey with 3. That's how bad they were last year. Because I knew DeSean Jackson would go down. I knew Jeffrey was losing a step, but I thought Agholor would actually have a decent year because I thought those guys would distract the defenders. Well, none of that happened. It was just a terrible year offensively. But I thought it was malpractice not having a backup speed receiver to DeSean Jackson. So this year you do have the speed in Jalen Reagor, DeSean Jackson, Hightower. We'll see. Is he just a fast guy, or can he also play wide receiver in the NFL? We'll find out. We got one segment left, 610-632-0975. Again, Devon Givens coming your way at 6 o'clock. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for Mike Missanelli right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
.545, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salchunas on this Memorial Day Monday, filling in for Mike Missanelli. He, Tyrone, and Natalie will all be back tomorrow. Devon Givens coming your way next. He'll be on from 6 until 10. Connor Thomas will be producing that show. Till then, it's myself, Andrew Salchunas, Tyler Zuli behind the glass. Got to let you know about the health heroes. During this global pandemic, there are those on the front lines who help keep our community safe. They are our health heroes. Is there a health hero in your life that you would like us to recognize? Go to 97.5thefanatic.com right now to nominate someone special. Our Health Heroes program is being made possible by our great friends at Pierce Phelps Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Dealers. Go to nopaybryant.com to find an expert Bryant dealer in your area who can help you make sure your air conditioning system is working properly. Of course, the Health Heroes program that we're doing right now is something that I can get behind. My wife is currently at the hospital right now, almost on her shift. So looking forward to that being done. Tyler? We went through a lot today.
We really did.
We're all over the place. We've talked about positive versus negative outlooks for Philadelphia. And for the most part, everyone's positive, which is good. Even though we are very good at grousing. Right? Like, I'm surprised that the poll resulted in an 82% overall positive outlook, which I'm happy about. But, and it's also a specific reason why I did when you step back and look at all four teams, right? So I guess if we were to ask the audience to give us the individual feelings toward these teams, Flyers would probably be the top on everyone's list right now.
You would have to think so.
Yes. I don't know. I wonder where the majority of the people go with number two. Like,
I would say probably the Sixers. I would think.
Based on
because
talent.
Because of the talent, right.
I don't know, that bench is terrible. It's really bad. But Eagles, I don't know. I think higher about the Eagles than most teams, most people. Especially you. Like we've had the conversation all day. Like I think the Eagles are a team that can still get to 10 wins. Do I think they're a dominant 10 win team? No. I still think they lose in round one, round two of the playoffs. But I still think they're a team that max 10 wins. If I lean one more win or one more loss, I lean one more loss, they'd be 9-7.
Right.
I don't see them going below 500.
I have them, I think, the lowest maybe at this station, and that's at 8-8.
Okay. I could see where 8-8 happens, but as we had the caller earlier, Ian, he said that the schedule's very favorable, which it is. You know, you run through, you do the W's and L's. And I remember when I first did it, I got to 11, but I was like, all right, I'm too green-colored glasses to be at 11, so let me put them at 10. But really, when I sit back and think about it, if anything, they're 9-7, not 11-5, but I have them at 10-6. And so maybe for me, in terms of optimism and and, you know, a positive outlook, I'd probably go Flyers. But like, I don't know. Do I want to put Eagles over the Sixers? That's the thing. Like, I think the Sixers are a very talented group. So maybe I go Flyers and then toss up Sixers, Eagles, and then Phillies bottom. But I do think the Phillies get there eventually. But I don't know. Like, I wonder where the audience would be at. You're probably right, Sixers too, because talent. I wonder, are people more confident about the Eagles right now? Are they more like you? Like,
no,
you've been doing the show every day.
Yeah.
And working all the time. I guess I hear more confidence with the Eagles.
I would agree. I think that there are more fans that are 10-6, 11-5 than they are 9-7, 8-8.
Right.
That may be a little bit of overconfidence, but there's nothing to say that this team is bad. I just don't think there's a whole lot to say that the team is good either.
Right. I also don't think the division's that great. Like, I'm not afraid of the Giants or the Redskins. I'm really not. Like, I could see them going 4-0 in those matchups.
Really?
But I think
I think the Giants are going to be okay.
What's okay?
Like 7-9.
Okay, yeah, same. I'm more like 6-10, but still. Like, I remember going through it, I had them 6-10. But I still see the Eagles. They own the Giants.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, it's Daniel Jones. And to me, it's Daniel Jones. Is he... You saw flashes last year. But is he going to be totally erratic Daniel Jones like you saw last year? Or is he going to be better? And when he plays his great games, do the Eagles run into one of those games, right? Like, you know, I just think 2-0 because I think the Eagles are a better team. I think the Eagles are a much better team than the Redskins. And I think they split with the Cowboys. So we'll see. By the way, this just coming in from awful announcing. Yesterday's match, the golf tournament with Woods and Manning versus Phil and Brady. The most watched golf event in cable history. 5.8 million viewers across Turner Networks. Now, what does that tell you? And this was not Channel 6. This was not NBC. This was not CBS. This was cable, TNT. They had it on TNT, and they also had it on TBS. 5.8 million viewers. And it was pouring, and the golf wasn't good for the first couple holes because of the weather, and it got 5.8 million viewers. And I watched probably 15 holes, or 14 holes probably. And they were smart. They allowed them to use a cart. So this is technically match two. So, us today planning for another match that we would be planning for the match number three. Because match number one was last week, the Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, Matthew Wolf and Ricky Fowler. But at the same time, this brought more than that group. That group was just very good golfers. You know, they do it every day. This was more back and forth, entertainment value. And I think they should keep doing this. If they can find another course to play at, it's not like these courses are open. Well, some of them are, but you go, hey, listen, nobody can golf this Sunday because we're going to have four incredible people here. Right? Like, you can close down a golf course. They're going to make so much money. Now, this last one was at Tiger's golf course, so that was easy to do. But if they should try to do this again, they should try to plan another one, because until sports comes back, like, are you now, you were in and out because you were working during it. If you were off, would you have watched it? But if not, would you now, knowing how the success that it had?
Yeah, I would have watched way more of it. Okay. And I will tell you this, if there is another intriguing one, like if it's another couple of high-profile guys,
right,
I will watch the whole thing.
Right.
Let me ask you this, if you don't mind. Mm-hmm. Would it have to be a sports figure for you to be hooked?
No.
Like, could it be politicians? Could it be actors?
Okay. When I first was considering putting out the tweet, I was going to put out, like, actors and... And I still kind of want to do it where it's like there is a good back and forth. Like, Manning Brady makes perfect sense, and that's why I did
right.
The sports rivals. But, you know, if you did two actors that are in movies quite frequently together, like, I don't know, De Niro, Pesci, right, or Adam Sandler and any of his band
crew.
Of guys. Yeah, because he's got the same guys in every single movie. But if you can think of that, or, you know, somebody tweeted in being funny. Trump and Obama. I don't know if Obama golfs. We obviously know Trump golfs. But I don't know. I would watch that. I don't care about your political view or my political. I don't have a political view. I would watch that, though, because they are polarizing figures. It would have to be polarizing figures. That's what it would have to be. Whether you like the person or not, it would have to be polarizing figures. Golf right now has people eating out of the palm of their hands. It's not even tournaments. That's the thing, Tyler. It's not even tournaments. It's four golfers. And they were smart to allow them to use carts. I don't know what the rules were the first round, because they'd walked the entire course last week, and that just added too much time. Now, they were professional golfers, so they weren't hitting it all over the damn place like you and I would on the golf course, or like Manning and Brady were at times. And these guys were, they're, you know, older in age than McIlroy and Johnson and Wolf and Fowler. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it, with the carts. But they're smart because it speeds it up. It just these guys are talented and they have golf carts, so it's only going to make things go faster. And look, they raised $20 million. Brooks Koepka bet $100,000 saying, Brady, if you get a par on the front nine, at least a par on the front nine, I'll donate $100,000. And he sinks a birdie. And it's like, dude, you just raised $100,000. That's awesome. Golf should, they should, I'm telling you, they need to find a way to do this some more. They have to. All right, that'll be that. Tyler, great job today producing and chiming in.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
And I had a blast. Devon Givens, he's coming your way next. We'll be on from 6 until 10. I'll be back tomorrow, normal time slot on Cuz Radio with Anthony from 10 until 2. Mikey Miss, Tyrone Johnson, Natalie Eganoff, they will be back tomorrow, 2 until 6. Everybody enjoy the rest of your day off. If you did have a day off, if you're getting home from work now, enjoy the rest of your night on this Memorial Day Monday. I'm Andrew Salchunas, and this is 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.